start to play. Dance with me, make me sway.
Hungry yet? It's Table for Two with Joe Mazzaglia on News Talk 1400 WOND.
All right, we are back. And where was I when I left the, I guess, that's right. I was introducing my guest. Mm-hmm. And, we got a lot to talk today. We haven't started eating yet, but it's all right. We're going to get there. So, Susie, she's the tour guide assistant. Mary O, she's the owner of Evening Food Tour. And it's a great business. Why don't we start with you, Mary?
Sure.
First of all, give me a little bit of background on Mary. When did you come up with this idea?
Sure. So around 2010.
When you started the podcast, mm-hmm. the radio. No.
You ever done that?
How about that?
2010. I was down in Athens, Georgia. My daughter was going to school down there. Saw a brochure on the street that said a food tour. I said, "What in the world is a food tour?"
Right.
And it said great food, great history, great architecture, and stories. And I said, I have a house in Cape May, but I live in Cape May. Great food, great architecture, exactly. Great stories of the past. And it was just instant. I knew this was what I was going to do. My husband looked at me like I had three heads. I came from a teaching background. But I was taking my friends on little tours of Cape May because we had gotten books on the past, and, you know, the architecture is gorgeous in Cape May. We have the second largest collection of Victorian structures in the nation.
Eight different styles of mansion, Victorian.
Yes, and they learn the different styles on the tour. We take them through the elements. By the end of the tour, they are experts in the different. They can walk around town and pick out all the different styles in town.
So you know what the beauty is about that? Because of being in Cape May, lucky you're in Cape May.
Mm-hmm.
You could be in Boston, could be in San Francisco.
There are food tours.
Absolutely.
There are food tours all over the country.
Right, as their own charm. But the fact that Cape May has, architecturally speaking, history that not too many other
presidents
in the country.
Right, have. Presidents who come there.
But when you came back from Georgia. And he says, that's what I want to do. Did you have any food training? Did you have any.
You know what?
Background?
I have a daughter who's a chef.
Oh.
She was not a chef at that point. She would help me in the kitchen when she was little. She loved food. She would do the happy food dance. Anytime she had food, like when there was dinner on the table, she would do the happy food dance. And she loved to help me, especially on holidays. She just got really into it. And I have a wonderful mother and aunt who were wonderful cooks. And so I just said, you know, I'm going to do this. I don't know how to because I was a public school teacher. But I believe in education. So I found a course in Chicago. And here I am. I've got three children. I've got a husband at home.
And you're going to go to Chicago.
And I'm going to go to Chicago to take a course.
I'm sure they will have to do
your
bed, right?
Yeah. So I said, okay, let me think about this. Because it was thousands of dollars to stay in a hotel and take the course and come back. And it wasn't a franchise. It was just a course on how to open. Because I had no business background. I really didn't know. So best investment ever was going to Chicago, learning what is a food tour. It's not just the food. You can do great food at a lot of places, but it is the connection with the people, showing them the heart and soul of your city, and those mom-and-pop operations that are really the heart and the essence of your city, are the mom-and-pop operations that work there. So I had all of this knowledge, came back to Cape May, scared as anything to approach these restaurant owners because I was like, are they going to say yes? Are they going to say no? And so I had my pitch ready, pitched it to them. We pay for the food. We come at the same time every day. We tell you the order before we get there because I'm going to pick with you a great tasting. It's not going to be too far off of what people are, you know, used to, but gourmet enough and different enough that they connect with it for Cape May. And it's got to be about Cape May. Cape May is the second largest harvester of seafood on the East Coast. And so we bring in a lot of seafood. So we do seafood on the tour. And I know you love lobster. So this year, I listened to a couple of your shows.
Your investigation.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that.
So we do, this year we're doing a lobster roll, just like they do in Maine, with that buttery split top.
So you have to go to the place they do the lobster roll now.
Well, we can't walk out to the Lobster House because that's too far from the downtown. Quincy's.
Yes.
We go to Quincy's.
Okay.
And they have the best. It's the most authentic for the Maine style. And they have the hot dog roll, but a really good hot dog roll.
Buttery.
I mean, the roll, it's got to be great.
Buttery.
And then they're toasted. And then their lobster meat that they use.
It's the real
thing. It's the real thing. It's the claw and the knuckle. They don't use the stringy leg meat.
Okay.
So they have the extra nice. And their lobsters come from the East Coast. Anywhere from, I ask them, where are the lobsters local? We don't ask the lobsters where they come from. We just get the lobsters. It's anywhere from Maine down to maybe Maryland. But they are East Coast lobsters. And we do bring in, we do harvest lobsters off the coast
of
Cape May.
Yeah, we do.
It is such a wonderful combination, and there's a little bit of mayo, but it's not heavily mayo.
Not drenched.
Delicious.
Drenched.
Just to bind and the mayo.
It doesn't even bind it all that much.
It's the flavoring mayo somehow goes along with that particular lobster roll.
Right.
Yes.
You go to Boston and throughout the country, somehow the mayo binds it in. Not to bind it, but
well, you
to
can, the salad. That's a salad, right.
You would use oil. Oil is not the right ingredients for that dish.
No.
You know, it wouldn't be a Mediterranean type of a dish, you know, where the oil is the predominant. The mayo is needed for that.
But it has a connection with Cape May. So we do a seafood. And in past years when we were going inside restaurants, we would do also a calamari because we have the best local calamari. Here's why. Because the calamari that swims right off our coast has a higher moisture content. And so that calamari,
it's not as fibery, it's
and
tender.
When it hits the high heat of the fryer, it just it doesn't lose that moisture. And the place that we did it with a cornmeal on the outside, and it was very light and beautiful
and
crispy. And also, Cape May supplies 25% of the nation's calamari.
Did you know that?
That's crazy.
These are the things you learn on a Cape May food tour.
Well,
so
yeah,
this
the
is
tour, the tour you it's got to be, at the end of the day, people, they look forward to the food because taking the tour for the 3 hours during the luncheon time, you got to feed them, and that's perfect. And feed them and wine. But the fact that at the end of the 3 hours, it's not all about food. It's about educating people. What did you come to Cape May to
And
by the way, we lost Ron, and I have to apologize.
I told him to call back.
Maybe right after we get back at 11 o'clock, we'll have him, and we're going to give him a bunch of time. I apologize to Ron, but I would have never gone into my guest over here.
Absolutely.
We could do it.
I'm interested in this.
Oh, thank you, Gloria. I really appreciate it.
You see what you're doing now. You're educating someone that it's love the shore.
It's food for the mind, food for the body.
Gloria coming from the Bucks County area, the poor area in Pennsylvania.
Well, that's not the poor area. We know that.
I don't
think
so either.
We have a 16-year-old daughter. Her name's Madeline, and she said she wanted to go to Cape May last night, and we ended up not going. But she's a foodie also, and she loves architecture.
Perfect. Do you have my card?
I cannot wait to go.
Put a lot of businesses and people together throughout this. I've done a lot.
But we sell our tickets online at CapeMayFoodTours.com. And it's a very simple process to get the tickets. And
what is the ticket cost for the tour?
The tours are $87, but that includes 3-hour tour with our rock star tour guide, Susie.
Susie, now you're a rock star.
Uh-huh. Is also a foodie because she was a restaurant owner and for 21 years in Cape May.
Gekos.
Gekos,
yeah. I remember that place. Yeah, very well.
And it's all the food. It's a water bottle along with the food. And it's history, architecture, stories of the past. We have great stories. They're
fun really
stories.
Fun.
Are we going to hear some of the stories? Speaking about the water bottle, which is fine, are they allowed to bring their little cooler with maybe a...
On a private tour. On a private tour. We do private tours all year round.
So you can do that.
So because we don't want people having their own little party, and then there's other people on the tour, and they feel left out.
Yeah, right.
So if they have a private party, they arrange with us first what they're going to bring to the BYO restaurant.
Right.
And then we have the glasses set up for them, and we have to build a little more time because all of our tour is timed out. Precision, because we know a hot is coming up. We've got to get to that restaurant when that hot is ready, and we've got to stay on time. People want to take a ferry home. If they're going to Delaware,
yes, you have to be on
time. We have to be on time. So, I like to go right to the dot, and I, is very good at being right to the dot on some tours. Susie's tour in West Cape May was a little harder to go to the dot, and I would have to call her and say if I was a few minutes late because she was the last stop on the food tour, and next to the last. The cheese shop and wine was the last one. Yeah, but the cheese shop is gone now.
The cheese shop in Cape May is up and running now.
Yes, so we do have a new cheese shop in Cape May. We've already been in contact with them. They may be
because I love that stuff.
Yeah, they may be a future tasting location, but at this point. I do want to give a shout out.
Could you list your tasting tour?
Right, so the people who we go to, see, I brought my cheat sheet, Joe. So we go to Quincy's Original Lobster Rolls.
Yep, that's the one.
We go to La Doña, which is authentic Oaxacan food. So we do Oaxacan, Mexico.
Oaxaca, Oaxaca, Puebla, the old region, Oaxaca. So what is the original food from Oaxaca?
So, well, she has a lot of her own. It's very plain, not over soft, not plain, because it has a lot of flavor. But she gets great ingredients, and then she doesn't over sauce them, because she said, you can get bad ingredients and then put a lot of sauce on, and that hides it. She gets prime ingredients, and she just wants you to taste. Because it's a chicken dish, she wants you to taste that chicken.
That's right, because it's fresh.
It's fresh, and she makes everything right there.
It's so delicious, really good.
She does a table
this
side.
This is the key of Italian cooking. Very simple.
Yeah. Very simple.
Very straightforward. With sauces and too much.
Right. Not over-processed.
Just taste the beauty of the nature, the chicken, the vegetable, the seafood.
And we do Hispanic dishes on our tours because in Cape May, our biggest ethnic group is the Hispanic group. And that surprises a lot of people, but we do have a big influence from the Hispanic cuisine. It could be Argentinian. I'm lumping it all into Hispanic.
Latinos.
And so we want to show the influences. So the tour shows what the influences are on our cuisine. You go to the New York tour, you want New York food. You come to the Philadelphia tour, you want Philadelphia food. So you come to Cape May, you want the influences of Cape May on our cuisine. And so the Hispanics have a big influence on our cuisine. So we do two this year of Hispanic. And so we do La Doña. And then we also do, at Homestyle to Go, we do the empanadas. His mother was right from Argentina, has the family recipe. It is so complex.
What's her name? The empanada lady you're talking about?
No, we used to do that on the West Side tour.
Okay.
Yes, Brooke.
Brooke.
She doesn't do the original Argentinian style. She made up her own more healthy style.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not fried, it's baked.
Baked.
But this woman that we have this year, Brooke is no longer in a...
Right.
She has
mortar.
A... situation. Right. She has a truck now, and she goes from festivals.
A happy,
Brooke
happy
is wonderful.
Truck.
Yes, happy, happy truck. She had a lot of children and decided that she needed more time away from a brick and mortar. So we love Brooke. We do love Brooke.
She was baking the empanadas and children at the same time.
Yes, there you go. So, God bless you, Brooke. And
she's a great
guest. She's a great lady. Was she?
I had a blast.
Oh, my gosh. But this is Chris and, I'm sorry,
Andrew.
Christine and Andrew. And Andrew's mother was right from Argentina, brings her family recipe, the beef empanada.
Oh.
And it's the traditional shell. It's so light and flaky.
So
and
good. Then, really delicious.
Oh, my gosh. The beef in it. Well, you know more about the beef in it because of, am I allowed to say, Randy helps out? Her husband, Randy, sometimes works over there, and so he's sometimes making those empanadas with them. And they do have the best ingredients. The restaurant owners will go to Homestyle to Go. It's a takeout place.
Mm.
But when they want to get a dinner, they will go over there because he's got the best ingredients that are found available. No joke. It's like a like you would cook at home. And he doesn't use the non-expeller oils that he uses?
Yes, cold press.
Cold press.
Well, he sources his products responsibly wherever he can. So there's phosphate-free shrimp, organic beef, free-range chicken.
And that's what makes the difference.
Yeah, exactly. Cage-free,
chicken, eggs.
And so you can taste that through the better sourced, the better the product is, and then the flavors come out just naturally.
Isn't that funny that everyone I talk to on the show, and this is just we're saying it now, again, chefs, or when you taste something that you truly like, and you don't know what it is, it's just, wow, this is so good. It could be the empanada or the beef, but there is something that kind of turns you on.
Yes.
And kind of... is the, I would call it the chemistry of food, the impact of that new taste into your tongue, and the tongue sends all these messages to the brain, says, wow, this is something different. And that's why people, when they say, this is great, I got to go back to this place because I've experienced something different.
So complex.
That's right.
The
it's
flavors
so
are so complex.
Exactly.
It makes your mind think, what am I actually tasting?
Right.
And I bought one empanada to start. Well, I bought three, but I also bought a dinner over there. And I said, okay, I'll start with the empanada. I'll have one, and then I'll eat my dinner. I could not stop eating the empanadas. They were unbelievable.
Yeah.
These are the traditional Argentinian type. And so... And I want to give
empanadas. You just said something. I want to educate people over. Empanadas are truly worldwide. It's not just
Argentinian. No,
they're Mexican. They're from Spain. There is empanadas in Europe. Actually, there is empanadas in the Orient, in China. If you think about a dumpling.
Yes. Well, hand pocket, right? Hand pocket, right?
So if you think about that, but isn't it funny that again? Food evolves throughout the world.
Right.
The universal
goes around.
Where the people have established and developed that particular recipe, but basically it's quite the same.
Right.
Yeah.
And I want to give a shout out to the other people on our tour, the other establishments. So we do Cape May Peanut Butter Company, which does their grinding of their nuts right there in Cape May. Yeah. They have many different products. They make not only their nut butters, but they make their candies. And we connect with them because Cape May used to have mostly Southern visitors before the Civil War. And so and we have still the influence of the Southern cuisine.
In all those historical meetings... that they were set in Cape May, and that's where Congress all comes into the picture.
Yes.
And there's a lot of, well, we don't want to talk in this time, but that's true.
Now, we go through Congress Hall. We do the history.
We talk about the history of Congress Hall.
Of course.
We do that, and the presidents who have been there. And we have a great story about Henry Clay.
Yes.
And we have stories about Henry Ford, who was also in Cape May, did a great race in Cape May. So we have fun stories along the way. And one more place, oh, two more places that we go to. We do Coffee Time, which is the number one coffee place in Cape May. And they have locally roasted coffee, fair trade. When they do their decaf process, it's the Swiss water treatment, so there are no chemicals in that at all. Mm-hmm. And there, it's been an icon in Cape May for many, many years. This is the second owner that we've been through with our tour, but these are very local people, and they do a wonderful job. They're beloved in the town, this young couple. And then we also do, you can't go to Cape May without the original Fudge Kitchen.
That's right.
And they make their fudge. And here's the Victorian connection. Fudge was originally made in the 1800s, first written about at Vassar College, and up in Poughkeepsie, New York. But it was from a recipe from Maryland. So we're kind of in the middle. And so we do fudge, and they make it right in the window. We watch them whip the fudge, and it's a wonderful family, the Bogle brothers.
The Bogle.
Yeah.
I wish they'd been on my show as well.
The Bogle brothers, yes. And we just added a new one. We just added Hot Dog Tommy's. So Hot Dog Tommy's. He came in.
Sure, without having a hot dog.
That's right.
Right. Exactly. And they do all of their own sauces. They make it there right on the premises, all their sauces, all their toppings. And we do, I'm going to give this one away.
Yes.
I'm going to say what we do. We do a Mishugana dog.
Yes.
So the Mishugana.
I won't be able to say it. It's super delicious.
So the Mishugana dog is a, we do the leaner dog because the big bad dog would be too much food. You know, they're going from place to place. They're eating a lot of food. So we do the leaner wiener, which is a pork and a beef.
Yeah.
And it's got coleslaw, Russian dressing. And then a bead of yellow mustard to cut down the sweetness
of that.
And then potato chips on the top.
Ah, yes.
Nice. So that makes it a crazy, crazy Michigana dog. And he served it for his niece's wedding. So he was sold on that.
What kind of dogs does he use?
Burks.
Yes.
The Hershey's official hot dog.
Yeah,
so,
Burks.
So.
Well, so at the end of the tour...
Mm-hmm.
You feel quite satisfied because you have visited seven places, including a great cup of coffee, which you're going to need to stay awake.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Well, the coffee is a mocha.
It's a mocha.
Frozen, and we do it decaf because a lot of people can't do the caffeine, but it's made with their locally roasted coffee base. So that's a Cafe Magnum Opus base, which is the fair trade.
Mm.
And the other thing that I wanted to make sure I mentioned was that Cape May Food Tours is part of a larger collaboration of food tours all through New Jersey. Seven different women own these businesses, and they run all the way from Cape May to Morristown, New Jersey.
Wow.
We cover 16 cities. We also have a West Cape May Food Tour, but it's not able to run yet this year because we've lost too many partners, Susie being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to give a shout out, if I can,
sure,
to
I'm
the.
Hey,
I got my cheat sheet here.
We want to talk about more of Cape May when we come back during the, and let people know that Cape May truly is, it's got more than the tour. It's so much to do in Cape May.
So much, and the tour is just it's a full city tour plus a full meal.
Right.
More than a full meal.
I mean, it really is.
That's
by the time at the end of the tour, you're definitely
when we come back, I'm going to have a nice idea. Now that you have done the half a day morning type of a tour, three hours, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Which is the midday, right?
Right.
Yes.
Like 10:45 to 1:45.
Right. We should give these lovely people that they really got to know you now. You know what's funny about people when you have them with you for 3 hours and you talk to them? They become almost attached to you.
Mm-hmm.
They become
yeah.
almost like you're their friends. And they hate to leave you.
Yes.
So why don't we bring them back for dinner and organize a nice dinner to complete the evening.
Oh, I like the way you think.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
My brain.
Yeah.
What do you do at night? You sleep at night or you wake up at night and you say, wow, you know, sometimes you get, I know, it's the time. It's the time. Probably to, you know.
But Joe, can I give a shout out to the New Jersey Food Tour Trail?
Please.
Okay. So we have Cape May Food Tours, of course, in Cape May. That's our tour. Taste of Asbury, which I just did this tour a few weeks ago in Asbury Park, New Jersey. So much fun. Sister Cities Food Tours, that's in New Hope and Lambertville. Savor and Stroll, which is in Morristown, not Morristown, but Morristown, New Jersey.
Right.
And Beyond the Plate and On the Town. On the Town does many different cities. Atlantic City is one of them, and I started to develop the tour with her. We were going to do it as a collaboration, but decided that bucking the traffic going up on the parkway was a little bit hard, so she's doing that tour herself. And the last one is Have You Met Newark in Newark? And so we have seven different food tours.
Have you get to meet Dr. Levi Fox?
No.
City? I introduce you to him. He's the king of Atlantic City. He's an historian.
Wow.
Yeah, I make a connection. Are we going for a quick break? Wow, 1 hour is already gone. No wonder we have to extend it to four.
Why not? Today.